Folks, you will be able to find Psalm 98 on page 603 in the Pew Bibles. You might find that helpful this morning. Just a very quick harvest thought for us to chew on and take home this morning. You'll know, like I do, if you drop a pebble in a lake, the ripples, the circles will spread and spread until they eventually reach the edge. The circles also get bigger and bigger, ever increasing circles. Now, that's a fact of nature. It's a fact of physics. It's also one of our sayings that the spreading circles represent influence that people can spread around the world. You and I can do something that affects others. And their actions might then affect someone else. Our actions and influence can spread outwards and become larger and more significant. Now, that's true in the church because of Psalm 98. In it, we want to see the spreading influence of the Lord's praise as his people gather, give thanks, and sing, just like we've done this morning. It's not hard to see that. It's not hard to appreciate it, that this is a marvelous harvest thought, but also a gospel one. The dropping of the pebble begins in the first section. Sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand, his strong hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He's remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, being a psalm, the big moment in mind here is probably the Exodus, the escape from Egypt. God's mighty works, his signs and wonders, they've saved his chosen people all in the sight of Egypt. That's what we might be looking at in verse 2. But it's so poetic, isn't it, that it has to be more than that. These are lines that go beyond. Yes, God saves, but the ripples of that action go on. That's the next line. He's remembered his love, his faithfulness. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Today, you and I will donate our food decorations to Storehouse. Our giving, our kindness, our concern, it'll reach out of this building and touch others. We hope those actions carry our love and that they are expressions of our faithfulness. But you know, it's for nothing if we don't have God at the center of it all. Leslie said that for us already. Because we do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's in the cross that Psalm 98 really comes to life and makes sense. A new song, marvelous things, salvation. Salvation known, righteousness, remembering his love, the ends of the earth. These are gospel things. These are things the cross does. So God is faithful to us, and the earth responds. The earth responds. The reach across the earth gets a response. If the opening is the dropping of the pebble in the water, then here come the ripples. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Our harvest service in Ballygilbert is a big deal, isn't it? Like a lot of churches, we make the extra effort to decorate the church. It looks so well. We get our singers to practice their songs. Those are back on practicing. The choir have found that tough, haven't they? We add more music via the choir and their introits and anthems. We get Ivan to come and play for us as well. Extra help. We go a little bit further on Sundays like this. And yet, you know what? We have fallen short this morning of Psalm 98. We will always fall short of Psalm 98. Look at that again. Look at the size of the praise here. Do you look at that and hear loud, boisterous singing? Maybe this will help us. Look at it again. Look at that now. Shout, burst, make music, the blast of the horn, shout. That is over the top praise. When was the last time you sang like that? When was the last time you really let go? Was it in the shower? Was it at Ravenhill, the Kingspan Stadium? Was it in church? Psalm 98 teaches us that it should have been in church. This should be the character of our singing, smiling, joyful, loud, bombastic praise. Why? Why would it be this way? Because look who we're to shout for. The Lord, the King. Because God is King. Here's a little harvest reminder for our church family. Nothing is too big when it comes to praising God who made us and saved us. This is a love that means we will do anything for him. We will go all the way when it comes to God. The only real question that if all of this is true is, will we? You'll know that the temperature of your faith this morning, but no matter how hot or cold it might be burning, we can glance at the cross and we should feel our hearts start to warm. On a rainy autumnal October morning, our hearts will warm. The cross will show us what real love will do, and we won't be able to help but feel it. And like the Emmaus disciples, we might say to one another on the way out, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the road and opened the scriptures? Do you know, I will make that my prayer for you this week, and I wonder if you'd make that your prayer for me. I could send you home there. What could we possibly add to that? Well, the psalm's not over. If we're going to be so grateful that our praise is loud and joyful, then there must be an expectation that other people will hear it and that they'll join in. The water of the earth, which goes everywhere, joins the choir in the last bit of the psalm. The ripples keep going. The sea resounds. All who live in it, the rivers clap their hands. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The mountains sing for joy. That is a world, here's more of it, that's a world exploding in praise. But not because of God's salvation of his people. The whole of creation joins the praise party, not because God has been good, but because God's going to judge. If harvest is a time of praise and celebration, and it is, then it's also a time of harvesting. And that has always been the language of God's judgment. There's no escaping this, because this is the last line of the song. Why all this noisy praise and singing? Why do the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing? For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, just for a second, imagine that your first and strongest reaction to that is not fear, but praise. And this is where the church and the world will split into two types of people: those who fear God's judgment and those who look forward to it. Fear makes sense, doesn't it? No one likes the idea of being judged, let alone being found guilty. Judgment day, that's a scary thought. Joy in the face of judgment makes no sense unless we unlock the psalm with the cross and with Jesus. Here it is. Here's the lock you've got to pick to really see the psalm and really look forward to the harvest at the end of time. The Lord has made his salvation known. That's Jesus. He has revealed his righteousness to the nations. That's Jesus as well. There is the point where all the ripples of the praise meet and end. They find their home and their rest at the feet of Jesus. And that is joyful. That is worthy of the best and the loudest songs. It's the hallelujah. Hooray for God. Last thing, harvest is usually a busy occasion in church. It is today. More people come out to church for harvest, Christmas, or Easter than any other Sundays. So you'll forgive me if I take my opportunity and press the reality of this onto you today. We don't just turn up this morning to praise God for the harvest. We praise him for the harvest of souls. We praise him for his judgment. That takes a real faith in God. That means we really trust him. To get to the very end of this life in this world with a song in our hearts means that we absolutely trust God's will for the world, that he has sent Jesus to save us from that judgment. And like every harvest, we come still needing salvation, but we come to a God who has provided it. The whole earth knows it and rejoices. Do you? Let's pray. Father, harvest is a wonderful time of year, but it can distract us with the earthly. And yet here in church, you call us to cast our minds above. As we've done that, you have spoken to hearts and minds. You've shown us in your word that there is a joy in the judgment to come. That doesn't sound right. And yet we know it is. We know our need of salvation, our need of your son. And part of us longs to find this level of loud, singing, joyful, and noisy praise. Father, even as we would come to sing our final hymn, to pray that others might know our joy, help us in all that we do and say. May we join the creation choir that rejoices always in and for Jesus' name. Amen.